Mike McConnell is on right now.
720 WGN. Last Thursday, the president laid out as part of his plan to get America back to work a job training program whereby people would continue to receive unemployment benefits while training for something new. The question is there a shortage of job training programs to begin with? In a check around Chicagoland, we don't have a complete count, but there are at least three dozen job training programs that are up and running right now, three dozen, and not sure how many other smaller private programs might already be in place. And I have a guest anyway, James Bovard, who has a piece in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, I believe, which points to what we've done in the past with regard to the history of job training programs, and it's not real pretty. Wall Street Journal once referred to Mr. Bovard as the roving inspector general of the modern state. So we're glad he took time out from roving and inspecting. Good to have you on the program, Mr. Bovard. How are you?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. We go back to 1964-65 for the first time at the federal level that we took a crack at job training programs. And I guess back then it had to do with retraining workers who were being displaced by technology as far back as 1964.
Right. And it's interesting, from the very start, the programs were tainted by fraud at the federal level because people would be put in the programs for 6 months or longer. And if they held a job for a single day, the Labor Department would claim success as if they were permanently employed. And this is a scam that the Labor Department has done, you know, consistently for the last 40, 50 years.
So even though we've had probably at least three or four other, I guess, generations of this, they continue to compile their data the same way?
Yeah. I mean, this is something which the General Accounting Office has penalized them on again and again. But if you sit down and sift some of the data and look at the Inspector General reports as well, there is a total lack of clean dealing on these programs. And it's a paradox to me why anybody would expect the Labor Department to teach people how to work.
Well, if they worked, we wouldn't keep coming up with new ones. In 1973, we came up with the Comprehensive Employment and Training Act, or CETA, and that one didn't pan out so well either.
No, I mean, it was one of God's prize boondoggles. It worked out well for investigative journalists. But it did things such as paying to build an artificial rock for rock climbers to practice on, providing nude sculpture classes where the participants pawed each other's bodies, and conducting door-to-door food stamp camp to sign people up for food stamps. And most importantly, the study showed that it hurt the subsequent earnings of the trainees. So you had all this feel-good, almost therapeutic-type stuff, but it harmed people because they basically wasted years of their life getting nothing except a paycheck.
Was that the program where, when it was audited, I guess, it turned out that those who went through the program made 10% less than those who never went through the program?
Actually, that was the Job Training Partnership Act, which was created by the Reagan administration to take CETA's place in 1982. And there were all kinds of boondoggles with that. It was it turned out to be kind of a slush fund for a lot of businesses. It spent money to do things like teach Washington, D.C. taxi drivers to smile. It paid to bankroll businesses moving from one state to another. But one thing it did not do is give people good job skills, which is why the evaluation showed that people were actually harmed, young people, young males especially, by enrolling in that program.
Does anybody sit back and say at the Labor Department, okay, these are the likely growth areas of the future, we're going to funnel people in these directions, and let's say, just for instance, it happens to be solar energy. We're going to train people on how to install solar panels. Do they do things like that, or how do they determine what you'll be trained to do?
My impression is that most of what the Labor Department does is what they've always done, and which is kind of keep doing the same thing as long as Congress keeps giving them money. I think that they've been very poorly tuned for decades as to what the labor market, job market is heading for. There hasn't been any learning curve in these programs. That's the thing that's really surprising, looking at the audits and the evaluations over the decades. What happens is that politicians come up with a new name or new slogan, and then they go with that for 5 or 10 years, and you end up warping another generation.
Before we jumped ahead already to the Job Training Partnership Act, but just finishing up the findings on CETA, I guess the Urban Institute found the participation in that program resulted in, quote, significant earnings losses for young men of all races and no significant effects on young women. So that's when we came up with a new one under the Reagan administration.
Right, and but the thing that was changed fundamentally was the name. There was also some shift in emphasis. Job Training Partnership Act was a lot more business friendly. What happened was you end up subsidizing a lot of businesses and basically throwing money at them simply to pay for training of people the businesses would have trained anyhow. I think McDonald's got subsidies to train tens of thousands of people who they would have hired anyhow, and it was the same throughout the country. Often the feds would pay a six-month subsidy for wage training, pay half a person's wages, but then as soon as that six-month subsidy ended, the person was fired.
Then the audit on the Job Training Partnership Act, which was our most recent, showed that, it actually reduced earnings of male out-of-school youths. Young males enrolled in JTPA programs had 10% lower earnings than a control group that never participated.
Right, and, you know, it's so important. So much of the argument over Obama's proposal is whether it's going to cost too much, things like that. It's important to recognize these programs actually harm the people they're intended to help.
Well, then that was replaced with the Workforce Investment Act in 1998. How much luck have we had with that?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell because Congress mandated that the Labor Department finish up an evaluation of the law's impact on the trainees by 2005 because after the disastrous results of CETA and JTPA, Congress wanted to make sure the Labor Department did not shaft trainees again. However, Labor Department is going to be at least 10 years late in putting out that evaluation of the impact on trainees.
And I guess throughout these programs, one of the findings has been that putting especially kids into summer programs, especially inner-city kids, it actually harmed their, what's my word, their motivation?
Going back, these were programs that started in the mid-1960s, part of the War on Poverty, Lyndon Johnson's spiel. And from 1969 onwards, the General Accounting Office has warned that many of the teens in these programs have failed to get a concept of what is reasonably required in order to get paid wages. Most of the urban teens were exposed to work sites where good habits were not learned or reinforced. I was traveling around. I did a story for Reader's Digest in the late 1980s and went to a number of the sites in Washington, D.C., and one of my favorites was the Marion Barry Youth Leadership Institute, which was the largest summer job site in Washington, D.C., and you had these hundreds of kids sitting around being paid to shoot the bull, and then in the afternoon they were paid to play basketball, and it's hard to imagine why a program like this did not boost their work ethic.
Well, I guess what could happen here under any circumstances is the kid thinks to himself, with regard to his employer, you're not the one paying me anyway, what do you care?
Right. Well,
so
I mean,
he's not earning his wage every single day.
Right. And not only that, but many of these programs are very averse to ever firing kids because they say that would be a bad lesson for the kid. However, as someone who held a number of very unpleasant teenage jobs in my younger years, and got shown the door once or twice, this is how kids learn. I mean, it's not necessarily a pleasant experience, but with these summer jobs programs, it's almost more therapeutic than work oriented in many cases.
Yeah, well, I mean, getting a lousy job on your own might inspire you to do your homework.
Well, absolutely, and try to find a foreman who's not a former 20-year Army sergeant.
Yeah,
that was my experience.
Yeah, how about, can I get a break in here and a few more questions, maybe one from the crowd? How about that?
Sounds great.
Okay, Jim Bovard. Your most recent book, by the way, it's been a while, but Attention Deficit Democracy, that's still out there, correct?
It is, yes.
All right, great. Stand by. We're right back on 720 WGN. Mike McConnell speaking here with Jim Bovard. Had a piece in the Wall Street Journal yesterday on the history of job training programs in this country. Bring it up because the president's calling for yet another to put America back to work and what success we've had and what failures we've had. Do you know, Jim, I mean, certainly people have gone through these programs and gotten a job, some percentage of them. Do we have any idea what percentage of them actually benefit from them?
Well, it's hard to have it's hard to get clean numbers because so many of the government programs have intentionally skewed how they've turned in the results. So, but certainly there are some people who have benefited, but there are lots of people who would have found jobs or skills on their own. And part of the problem with Obama's approach and the whole idea of trusting the federal government to give people job skills is this is not something that the government has any competence for. it doesn't make sense to expect the Labor Department bureaucrats to figure out what skills people are going to need 5 or 10 or 15 years down the road. This is something that private businesses are far better at.
All right, we're getting a question or two from the crowd. One or two, I want to take issue with at least an issue or two. Ryan and Wheaton, go ahead. What is it?
Oh, hi. You know, there's definitely, I agree with a lot of what he said. I've worked for the JTPA program for a couple of the summers, working with youth, the summer jobs program in 1993, 4 and 5, and then after I graduated college, I worked with the JTPA program from 97 to 2000, then when it became under the Workforce Investment Act. So with the youth programs, again, I'm not challenging what he's saying, what he's compiled on a national level, just that in my experience locally, it's still, all the kids, I mean, they've got barriers, or they come from homes where there's not a working parent, and so they don't have, you know, they haven't observed, they don't have a lot of job skills, understanding a work ethic. And so at least the way we tried to implement the program was to try to, you know, to teach them that. And, you know, there were youth job counselors that would go to the work sites and be kind of like intermediaries between the supervisors that were willing to take the kids on. And they'd say, hey, you know, this kid's is having a hard time getting to work on time. And, you know, and we'd let them go. I mean, we didn't coddle them too much if they weren't performing.
Well,
you know.
I'm sure it was well-intentioned. I mean, do you have a success story you could point to?
Oh, several. You know, a lot of, when I did this, the youth program, when under JTPA, we could only use, nonprofit.
Well, let me ask you this. They were expected to show up. Let me ask you, they're supposed to show up on time, I guess work a 40-hour week. Were employers generally happy with the placement of that student?
Overall, yes. But, well, we had a lot of kids, I mean, just, you know, that definitely weren't getting it, you know, weren't getting the whole, you know, showing up to work on time, you know, doing the job, kids that weren't really working too hard with that. But
I don't have a lot of time.
We'd have agencies and like Park District. I mean, we'd have them where they would hire the kids back on their own payroll the next year because they were satisfied with the performance. So,
all right, that's good.
But a lot of what he's saying, I definitely agree with. The problem now with like the on-the-job training programs is actually getting employers. I know what he's saying, you know, private business.
Well, I'll be curious in this case of being trained for free. Ryan, I have to go and give my guests some more time here.
Oh, no problem. Absolutely.
All right, Ryan. Thank you very much. Now, where was my point? With regard to this new plan, people continue to collect unemployment while they're being trained. Is there a reason for an employer to hire and train somebody they can't keep? The answer, I think, would be no. This is what strikes me. And as you said, McDonald's is paid to hire and train people they would probably hire anyway. I don't see where this particular plan would be any exception to that rule.
No, and the Georgia Works, the model that Obama is invoking, this is a program which has produced more headlines than jobs this year. Only about 200 people in Georgia have gotten jobs out of this program this year. Georgia has a much higher than average unemployment rate. And so it does. I'm mystified why Obama would put all this weight on that program, and you know, and the paradox is at the same time he wants to extend unemployment compensation for another 6 months or whatever. Studies have shown that's going to increase that doing that will make the national unemployment rate roughly one full percentage point above what it otherwise would be. So that is going to far outweigh any impact of any training proposal that he has.
Are there studies that show, I don't have much time for this answer, that show that people are motivated to get a job as their unemployment is running out? Because I know that's what happened to me.
Well, it's human nature. I mean, this is simple human nature, and it's strange that Obama and some Democrats try to pretend that incentives don't matter if someone's getting a government handout, because those are the kind of incentives that matter for everybody, even freelance writers.
How about that? All right, Jim Bovard, what's your online where people can read your stuff?
JimBovard.com.
B-O-V-A-R-D,
JimBovard.com. It's one of those French names.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Jim, good to talk to you again, and maybe one of these days we'll hook up.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Take care. You bet. And we'll carry on, 720 WGN.